Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps, the OG 90 Day Fiancé podcast and place where I, Jody, your best friend and inner voice, break down all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, Lifetime to Bravo, even WeTV and Netflix, let's break down all the cringeworthy moments together. Be sure to check out bonus episodes, extra content, ad-free episodes, and exclusive perks at patreon.com/realitytvpod and chat with me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at realitytvpod. And now, let's dive right in. Hey there, welcome back to the show. Before I get started on 90 Day Fiancé, I just want to say one huge, massive thank you, and I love you, to the Reality TV and Moms on the Rocks podcast communities. We really came together, wrapped our love around my co-host, one of my best friends, Carrie. Her son went missing over the weekend, and he has been found. They're working together as a family right now, but I just want to say thank you for your love, your prayers, your thoughts, your good energy. You have no idea what it meant to Carrie, what it meant to me just to see everyone love her so much and love her son so much. So thank you. And with that, I'm going to take a severe left turn and talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Most of you already know what went down with Larissa and Colt this weekend. If you don't, get ready for it. The story just kept getting bigger and bigger and snowballed. I'll get to all that in just a minute, but first, let's knock Ashley and Jay out of the way. They are probably the most boring couple on here. I have a feeling it's going to get more dramatic because we know Jay cannot stay faithful. But for now, I have no interest in watching you try to make coffee in the morning with brown sugar. Because, you know, Jay needs his brown sugar, can't be white sugar. And I'm not trying to be, you know, racist. It's not the type that skins likes to get on the reg back in Jamaica. It's just some Jamaican thing. They have to have brown sugar in their coffee. But two things I did notice in this scene because, let's face it, I am not a thin girl. Ashley is wearing donut jammies, which is really cute on a skinny girl, right? But donut jammies on anyone above the 60th percentile for weight, it's probably too on the nose, don't you think? I'm trying to look for some matching family jammies this year. Yeah, I know. I think I'm becoming that. We've never done it before, but for some reason, I just have a hair up my ass that we need to do something cute and family, and maybe we do matching jammies. So I started thinking, okay, what do I love? I love donuts. Maybe we all get donut jammies, but I really think my kids are probably just going to shame me on it. So I noticed the donut jammies, but I also noticed that Jay breaks a freaking glass because he opens up the cabinet and everything just comes falling out of it. And these two just start laughing. Oh my God, isn't broken glass so funny? Yeah, that's because they're not married yet. Fast forward 2 years and that glass would be grounds for one or both of them sleeping on the couch or going off and having a rage shopping session at Home Depot or Home Goods. So I've heard, you know, Dave and I are still in the honeymoon phase, you know, 14 years later. Or actually, wait, hold on a second. Married 2005, 13, almost 14 years later. See, it's just been unicorns and puppies ever since we got married. Time flies when you're having fun. Okay, so where was I looking at my notes? Okay, so Ashley throws this surprise party for Jay, and her friends really did seem like really good people. They're excited to see him, excited to meet him, except Natalie. Oh yes, our voice of reason, Natalie. She knows that Jay cheated, and really like any good friend, Natalie's looking out for Ashley. What more could you ask for in a good friend? So she asked Jay, hey, can you come outside? I just want to talk to you and come to an understanding. I don't want it to be all weird between us. Now, of course, we also know that production told Natalie, talk to the guy about cheating, get to the bottom of it. So we have to have that in the back of our minds, right? And Jay, what does he do? He falls for it, hook, line, and motherfucking sinker, because he admits to cheating on Ashley, but oh, it's in the past, so what's the big deal? Okay, Jay, I am 100% with Natalie here. Jay, it's a big deal, but Jay is a kid. He's 19. He's just too young to understand that marriage is a lot different than just dating someone. When you're dating someone, even if it's serious dating, when you're 19, I'm not saying now, I'm not saying I approve of this, but when you're dating, he's thinking, okay, the past is in the past. It's not a big deal. It's not going to affect us now. It's different with marriage because marriage is supposed to be forever. You can't just say, okay, I hate drama. We're not going to get into it every time the truth comes up and slaps you in the lime green solo cup, which I really enjoyed the colors of the solo cups, by the way. I am a big proponent of the fun colored solo cups. I saw a turquoise one time. Okay, what is in the tea I'm drinking today? Feeling better, by the way, so thank you for all your well wishes. All right, shut up, Jody. Keep going. All right, so Ashley doesn't agree with Natalie, obviously, because she dumped her as a friend and also told her that she's not involved in her wedding anymore. I just think that's disgusting. And I actually think after watching this show, and of course, having gone through my own wedding and having bridesmaids, why is that a thing? If you really look at it, weddings and friends just do not mix. I think the bridesmaid thing is overrated because when you're a bridesmaid, number one, it is way too much money. Number two, it's way too much pressure. And number three, does anyone really ever have a good time being a bridesmaid? I mean, maybe at the reception because, well, hopefully your friend has an open bar. But no one benefits from it. It's just stupid. I think we need to do away with the bridesmaid thing. Just, hey, come to my wedding, sit near me during the reception, help keep certain maybe friends or family at bay, and then just make sure that you get your money's worth for paying for the open bar. That is what we need to go to. Get rid of this bridesmaids thing. However, Ashley certainly does not agree. She's not taking that route. She's meeting with her friends to pick up their bridesmaid dresses. And oh my God, this kind of scene is the quintessential TLC bridal shop scene. And I could have watched it over and over and picked up on details, new details every single time. First, we find out that this is Ashley's third wedding that she has planned, which means these good friends of hers, they must be really fucking good friends because this is the third time they've had to shell out money for one of Ashley's weddings. Now, the other two weddings were planned. One she said was not a big deal, but it must have been kind of a big deal because she herself said, "This is the third dress my friends have paid for." The second wedding, she said she lost $60,000 on the wedding. Now, I feel bad for her, but I really don't, because why then would you ask your friends, having lost a great deal of money yourself, why would you ask your friends to now go and buy another dress? Why could they have not worn dress number one or two? I mean, why is her bad choice in men have to affect my wallet at this point? It's just so fucking ridiculous. Ugh. Okay, now even the Renaissance bridal chick, and you know I'm going to be digging into that bridal shop later, she looked at Ashley like, wait, what? You don't need this dress anymore? What? I just put on a very dark red lipstick for this and I'm in a bridal shop. You know how risky that is, bitch? And now you're telling me one of your bridesmaids is not going to be in the wedding and you don't need this dress anymore? So am I going to put this to the side or am I going to have to call my manager and get in trouble and try to reinforce the no refund policy? You know, that is exactly what was going through that chick's mind. That or she's not going to get her commission on those dresses. Jumping in with some late breaking news. Yes, there have been some recent developments in the 90 Day Fiancé world that must be addressed, or else I'm going to sound like a massive asshole this week. First being friend Natalie, you know, Ashley's friend who I thought was looking out for the girl. Well, turns out she's quite a bitch. She has been telling everyone about Ashley's really traumatic past. Ashley was kidnapped and raped. She's been beaten before by an ex, and Ashley had to throw it all out there, expose all of her trauma and horrible past to the world because Natalie was kind of using it as blackmail dangling over her head. So, Natalie, you are a bitch. Now, secondly, if Larissa wasn't already in enough trouble with her first and second domestic violence charges against her, we found out that Larissa has at least 2 children back in Brazil. There may be a third child, but she had a friend and an ex that said, yes, he had a child with Larissa. So I guess that means she may have 3 baby daddies, at least 2. And she just decided that she wasn't ready to take care of the child, left the child with her ex and one of her children. She's saying that she has 2. Other people are saying she has 3. One of them she left with her father, and she said, don't worry, when I am ready to take care of her, I'll have her come to the United States. So, wow, what a great mom. When she gets around to it, she'll just, you know, bring her up here. So there's your breaking news. Put that in the back of your mind as you're watching the rest of the season. And now, back to the show. Now let's go on another little shopping trip with our girl Larissa and Colt's mom, Debbie. Now a quick little update on what went down this weekend, just in case you weren't following along. I'm sure most of you had, so I don't want to rehash a bunch of old news. As of today, I'm recording this on Monday, Larissa was arrested over the weekend for domestic violence. She posted on her Instagram that she did not have her phone, so she must have went in on her laptop. Colt took her phone. She's locked in a bathroom. She posted and changed her name to, help, I'm locked in a bathroom. Colt has my phone. I need help. Everyone on social media who follows her saw that, called the Las Vegas cops. They came, and it appeared Colt was arrested. However, sarcasm, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they followed up on it, and they found that it wasn't Colt who was arrested. It was Larissa who was arrested for domestic violence. Now, there was an overturned shoe rack, and it looked worse than it was. I used to have one of those shoe racks for my kids, and it's a little cloth thing. I mean, it blows over in the breeze. It's not a big deal. It's not like Colt hulked out or some shit. From what we know, Larissa was arrested for domestic violence. She's in jail, and her court date, I think, was supposed to be yesterday, Sunday morning. I'll have to check and see what the update is. Now, as this was all unfolding, it was also uncovered that Larissa was arrested in June, just this past June, for domestic violence. I mean, this chick is fucking crazy. That is why Mother Debbie could not talk about Larissa on 90 Day Live. We're going to get to that a little bit later. This is a dark, dark time. And from what I've read, I don't think Larissa is going to be able to get her green card and stay here because she has those 2, what are they, misdemeanors, felonies. I hope I don't ever get one so I don't really have to know or have this knowledge right off the top of my head. I don't think it's looking good for Colt and Larissa. But let's talk about last night's episode. So we're 87 days out before they have to get married, and Larissa comes down the stairs and says, hey, Deb, what you doing? I think we go get sofa. Now, perhaps Larissa's attitude is just as big as Debbie's taste in furniture, because we get a little taste of what I like to fanfic out in my head, what house hunters would be like with Debbie and Larissa. Debbie likes a traditional overstuffed couch, while Larissa prefers a modern that only she and the anorexic cats can sit on. Now, somehow they both agree to shop at the most depressing looking furniture store I have ever seen. I don't think I've ever even seen a furniture store like this place, thank God. It's got to be either a secondhand furniture store, maybe it used to be office furniture, or it's furniture inventory from like a rent-a-center. You know, it was in an apartment complex, it was used for staging. Or you know what, maybe it was in a store like Furniture by Farrah, you know, because no one has ever bought diddly squat from that place unless you count Farrah's services that she renders on overseas yachts, allegedly. But sorry, I got Teen Mom on the brain. I just listened to Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom, some of her recaps. If you love Teen Mom, you got to go listen. She cracks me the hell up, especially when she talks about Farrah and her businesses. But anyway, I'm all over the place today, you guys. It's been a rough weekend. I think my brain is just swimming in the delights of 90 Day Fiancé and the delights of Deb. So we find out that Deb finds pretty much the stereotypical reality show couch as her favorite type of couch. It is the puffy suede couch with recliner option. I know that I don't even need to describe it any further than that because we all have seen that couch. I mean, talk about Teen Mom. It is on every Teen Mom episode, every franchise. However, Larissa likes something a little fancier. You know, like the turd brown microfiber one behind them. Ooh, real fancy there, Larissa. I bet Heather Dubrow has just been drooling over that one. So fancy. But I like to point out that on her way over and under and through the lines of sofas, Larissa locks eyes with this bonded leather, huge sectional couch with cup holders. And she must have seen that it's big, which means, oh, it costs more money, which then, you know, carry the 4 times pi to the 3rd power. Oh, yeah, this is the one that she and Colty must have. The sales guy wanted them to have it too, and he also wanted them to get the hell out of there off that microfiber couch that Debbie was sitting on because he knows that Debbie's about to shit her pants when she finds out that Larissa just wants to buy that couch right there. Fuck her ballsiness, man. The guy just throws down the lowest price on a faux leather couch that I have ever heard, a leather sectional. Again, it probably has some recliner options, has the cup holders. He says it's $1,200. $1,200 for a large sectional is a great deal. I mean, it's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but even for a bonded faux leather couch, you know, Mr. Furniture Store Man was ready to lock that shit down. He needed Deb off that microfiber couch ASAP because those things are a bitch to clean. Never again, never again. You might as well just put the reverse side of a piece of Velcro on there and just pour shit all over your couch on the first day that you have it because it's going to look like shit in no time. Well, about this time when Debbie cannot believe that Larissa just wants to spend money so easily on any damn couch she sees, we find out why. It is that Debbie and Colt share a checking account. Yeah, you heard that right. Colt, a 33-year-old man, shares a bank account with his mommy. Now, I know later in the 90-day live tell-all sort of thing, Debbie says, oh, well, they also have separate ones, but they have a joint one so they can pay their bills and all that kind of stuff. But you guys know, I still think that is too much. I don't even think Mother Paul and Paul share a bank account. I mean, where do you draw the line? Do you think they also have a shared checkbook that says Debbie and Colt Johnson? You think they like pick out their check styles? You know, he wants the, let's go House Hunter style on this. He wants the lock picking hobby one. She wants the Betty Boop. What are they going to do? Oh, I know. Let's compromise and call the bank. We're going to settle on the airbrushed wolves one. Oh, isn't that cootie? Oh, yes. They go to pick up Colt from work because, remember, mommy shares a car and picks up Colt and drops him off every day. Larissa tells Colt about their day. Well, cootie, today we found a cootie sofa. Well, darling Larissa, it's about time you learn that there's 3 people in this marriage and, you know, Colty can't share his bed and his bank account with you, so it's not looking good. I mean, Larissa is slow and I think she's stupid. I think she's absolutely psychotic. I'm pretty damn sure, or maybe I should say, I would not be surprised if her parents maybe covered up some murders that she committed back in her youth, back in Brazil or wherever it is that she claims she's from. I mean, do we really even know that she truly is from Brazil? Because I don't think Brazilian people always put E's on the end of things. I think that is more indicative of a foreign spy? I mean, let's think about this. If she were a foreign spy, she would probably pick someone like Colt because he can pick locks. He is very calm and measured. He could probably really facilitate a foreign exchange of found spy, prisoner. I'm getting way out of my league here, but what I'm trying to say is that Larissa is fucking crazy. And if you don't think that she's crazy and you don't think that Colt is crazy, we need to talk. Let's take Colt, for example. Let's just narrow it down to Colt because out of the two, I think we can all agree that Larissa's crazy, but I really kind of think Colt is too. Colt insisting that he's going to share a bank account with his mother after getting married, that's cuckoo. I mean, if you or anyone you know, just think about it, shared or continues to share a bank account with your mother or father, and I'm not talking about, you know, some trust fund or some account that maybe your older parents have your name on it just in case something happens, whatever. But I'm talking about you are over 18 and your paycheck goes direct deposited into some shared account and you come home and mommy is, you know, penciling it into her ledger. You got to email me because I have a lot of questions and I also have a lot of mental health resources I'd be more than happy to share with you. Now I'm going to take a little breather here because my man crush shows up and that is cousin John. Colty is taking Larissa to John's house to see John and his wife Leah, who, by the way, loves Ann Gettys so much. Please tell me you guys get that reference because I honestly think, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to. That is some of my best referential work. If you don't know who Ann Gettys is, you were born far too late to be listening to this podcast. Now, my brother husband then asks Larissa what she loves about Colty, and she proceeds to just list basic household chores. Like, I clean and do laundry and I cookie. But she thinks that Colt expresses his love for her through his sex drive. I refuse to believe this because the guy doesn't even have his own car to drive. So there's no way he has any sort of sexual drive whatsoever. He probably doesn't even have his own set of keys. Now, I didn't think John was being rude at all, but Larissa sure did. And I am telling you, Larissa was raised by a psychotic mom exactly like her. It's not important to be smart because you'll never need to be. You just manipulate people to do what you want. And if that doesn't work, you just demand it and be rude. Not your problem. But let's face it, cousin John is right. They are totally screwed, as evidenced by this past weekend. Moving right along to John and Fernanda. We have got to get over Thonggate, and even John thinks so, he is taking Fernanda to Myrtle Beach. Now, I have never been there, so I wasn't too excited until I saw those bacon-wrapped scallops, and then all I could think about was bacon-wrapped everything. I started thinking about, oh, maybe I should make bacon-wrapped, I don't know, dates or jalapenos for Thanksgiving as an appetizer. Couldn't get it off my mind. But then I realized why I can never have a body like Fernanda, because she is the kind of girl who can just easily refuse bacon-wrapped scallops. And that is not the kind of existence or kind of life that I'm really comfortable having. Now, over two giant cups of water and lemon, not the bacon-wrapped scallops, John and Fernanda boringly talk about how Fernanda wants to meet John's family before they get married. Blah, blah, blah. Fernanda's not going to marry John if they don't approve of their marriage. Okay, sure, Jan. So later on, they go to the club and they love to go to the club. It is like their thing. Now, this club is a room full of all the things and all the types of people that I cannot stand. It is not my scene at all. But Fernanda and John are just dancing and humping and giving her new boobs a twirl on the dance floor. And that is when production decides a sober Fernanda really just, it's no fun watching her dance. So they send in Holly Madison from the Girls Next Door. I mean, who knew she would be in Myrtle Beach? Now, John says that he can't dance, but yeah, we already know that. And he can't dance with another woman because he's engaged. Now, just then, Fernanda comes in and she throws a drink Snooki style, not at all for the cameras, and she storms off with John following in the now iconic scene, "Fernanda, wherefore art thou, Fernanda?" Then whoop, 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 the cops come, and next week we're going to see that he's upset because it's not going to look good for immigration if they have some sort of domestic disturbance on their records. I mean, it's a real Romeo and Juliet, am I right? Now, speaking of Romeo, I'm going to talk about my little Romeo. That is Asuelu. I mean, my heart really just does a little pitter-patter when I see this little fella. There's 85 days to wed before Kalani and Asuelu need to tie the knot. And according to Kalani, Asuelu is trying to do the dad thing, and I could not agree with her more. Asuelu had that little Oscar or Owen Oliver, whatever the hell his name is. He had him in that swing, and I reflexively put my mom arm out, the full mom reach, like, oh God, don't do it. Asuelu is like Lenny from Of Mice and Men. You know, he means well, but just take it easy. Just easy, fella. Love doesn't hurt. Love doesn't hurt, okay? I know what I'm about to say next is not going to be a popular opinion, but I am merely reporting what I see, what is given to me in front of my eyeballs. And I have to say it, part of this is the baby's fault. I mean, if his face was not that of a full-grown Samoan, Asuelu wouldn't be so confused. Thank you, Daryl and your daughter, for pointing that out because, my God, your reference was dead on. You nailed it. So Asuelu and Kalani and little baby big boy are going to be moving to Utah to stay in family Kalani's extra house. Extra five-bedroom house. I've said it before. The Mormons know what they're doing, okay? It's great that Kalini isn't going to be there, however, because remember, Kalini kind of, sort of, completely hates Asuelu. But guess what? Brother Kalani is there, and parents Kalani are going to be there for the first couple weeks. What this means is no sexy moves for Kalani, who, word around the picnic table, Kalani wants it just as often as Skins. Get it, girl. Get it. But I have to wonder, do you think Asuelu could bring it down to at least a soprano when they're, you know, shaking up the coconut tree? I would have to think the voice octaves would have to come to a whole other register, right? Okay, well, we get to the point in the show where Kalini shows up for a little charcuterie light and some wine, dream date, and hold on to your sarong. We learn that Asuelu has never had wine, but he's willing to try when Kalini asks because of course he is, because his stunningly beautiful sister-in-law is offering him and his gorgeous baby mama menage a trois wine. I mean, is this a Semwan's dream come true or what? I mean, I know it was my damn dream come true just to see some nicely sliced cheese, dried cured meats on a Sunday night, even if it were on my TV screen. Oh my God, I'm craving a charcuterie now. Can I tell you, because this is the kind of show that I'm going with today, this is the kind of show that is happening, I went to the mall with my daughter this weekend because she's never really been to a mall because I avoid malls like I avoid germs. So anyway, I walked by one of those little kiosk things in the middle of the mall, and it was filled with all kinds of seasonal summer sausages. And can I tell you, the willpower I exhibited just walking by it, I didn't even stop. I actually congratulated my damn self, and I had some Twix and Almond Joy when I got home because much like the Grinch parts of me have grown three sizes since Halloween. I'm just throwing it out there, but you know what? I'm back on track this week. So anyway, Kalani and Asuelu also get back on track with Kalini. See what I did there? And they convince Kalini that Asuelu really didn't cheat on Kalani after all. It was actually a very sweet moment. Kalini started to cry and tear up because Asuelu delivered, it was like an Oscar-worthy line. He said, "I just want to prove to you and your family that I can do so much more than you think I can do. The sun will come out tomorrow." And Kalani was like, "Yes, he can do so much more than you think he can do. I love you." With the holidays just around the corner, you have to let yourself indulge. It's once a year and you can always get back on track with your diet. What you can't always make up for are the vitamins and nutrients your body needs to help you feel your best all year long. Care Off is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamins and supplement packs right to your door. When I went to Care Off's site, I completely dorked out because there's this fun online quiz. It asks you about your goals, diet, how you eat, where you live. It only takes 5 minutes, and what's great about it is that it's not just a universal quiz that throws out a generic recommendation. For example, they pinpointed my latitude and longitude, seriously, and they determined exactly how much vitamin D I need during specific months of the year. I also responded in this personalized quiz that I'm open to trying out new Eastern medicine and supplements for my energy and especially my appetite levels. And I've been taking Care Off vitamins for over a month and I am loving the results. Now, besides the fact that I can modify my monthly supply easily at any time, I am obsessed with the packaging. So every day's vitamins comes in its own little sealed package and they have inspiring quotes, funny facts, something new to try for that day. And since I like to space out my omega-3s until dinner time, I put the packaging on my bulletin board, and it's like my little zen thought for the day. I love it. It's like my day-long fortune cookie. Now, Care Off also donates a portion of every sale towards the Good Plus Foundation. They provide expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins essential for mom and baby's health. I love that about Care Off. Now, speaking of, Care Off also has high-quality pre- and postnatal vitamins, so be sure to check that out, moms. Right now, go to takecareof.com, enter REALITV for 25% off your first month. That's honestly a great bargain. Once again, it's takecareof.com, promo code REALITV. Okay, let's go on to Eric and Lita. Jesus Christ. 83 days to wed, and it's time for a road trip to Wisconsin. A 15-hour road trip to Wisconsin. How comfy for four adults, two seniors and a toddler in an excursion for 15 hours. I mean, what greater bonding time could you have? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we could talk about how no one with eyeballs believes Eric is 40. Lita's family, they have the same level of, I don't want to say tact, maybe politeness as Lita does. I mean, they're just assholes right to your face. Or maybe not to your face or mine, just Eric's face, because they're just talking about how old and rough he looks, and he's sitting right there. That part I approve of. Everything else about Lita, not so much. I really, really liked Father Lita, at least what we've seen of him so far. We find out that he's a surgeon, and he appears to have worked hard to build this lifestyle for his family. It doesn't appear to me that he comes from money. Like, he really appreciates the work ethic, which that's probably why he hates Eric. And can we talk about how sweet it was to see how affectionate grandfather, what we call him, Grandfather Lita, Father Lita was with little Alessandro, that sweet little kid. And then we have Eric just throwing him up like a freaking crash test dummy. And Eric's wondering why the kid is crying after he brings him in. Oh, I don't know. Father of three. Maybe because he was sleeping and you sat him upright on the fucking tile floor. And then Eric tries to pry Alessandro away from his grandfather, the grandfather that he hasn't seen in weeks. He's expecting Alessandro to be like, "Oh, yay, Papa Eric." No. The kid does not want to ride on your fucking head anymore. But here's what pissed me off even more. Oh yeah, now I'm getting warmed up. Where was Lita during all this? Did anyone see where that lazy piece of shit mom was? Did she even flinch? Her kid is there crying in front of an entire group of people. He is screaming for comfort or nurturing and tenderness. And this bitch is just sitting there in her fucking ugly ass poncho. Oh yeah, I said it. And here I am, months later, and I was fucking practically lactating, for Christ's sake. This bitch couldn't even be bothered to, you know, stand up, help take his little shoes off or the little boy blazer that he was wearing. If for nothing else, her being a bad mom, she's a fucking bitch for simply making her son wear that thing. Oh, I have a lot of things to say about her mothering, or lack thereof. Now, way too many hours later the next day into their drive, Eric starts channeling Chevy Chase and goes into family vacation style with Lita and the family. Mother Lita is in the back seat. Eric is eyeing her purse just like Clark did with Aunt Edna's pocketbook. But this woman is not a fool. She is not like her daughter. She has got a kung fu grip on that Kate Spade, and she is not letting go of it as quickly as she's willing to let go of Lita, let's be honest. Now, I've said it before, Eric is so David-y that he's even pulling the same, you know, switcheroo on the home front. I'm going to hide my toxic dump apartment from my in-laws so they think I have money. His actual words were something like, I don't want them to see it. I don't want them anywhere near it. Like, okay, I mean, is this place fucking contagious or something? It's crazy. It's in this same delusional state where Eric decides to plan and execute a party, a little welcome to the United States party, and he invites his parents, his three daughters, and his ex-wife. Yeah, super cash, right? No awkwardness at all. This is so totally normal. This poor ex-wife, probably literally and figuratively, if her name's not Tanya, it needs to be because she looks exactly like a Tanya. She's trying to facilitate this conversation. You know how I feel about hosts who don't take charge and try to keep the conversation going. I can't stand that. And there he is, stupid fucking Eric, just sitting there, sweating away on the Airbnb leather couch. Likely not a bonded leather couch like Larissa and Colty's. So, you know, real leather's more porous, so that shit's staying in there. Word to the wise, don't be renting any Airbnbs in Baraboo or Barracuda, wherever the hell he lives. Not far enough for me, I can tell you that. Well, after a few minutes of asking about why Eric's bitches of daughters couldn't be there to welcome Lita, you know, such slackers, working and all, ugh, teenagers, Lita decides to share with all of us how she hopes to go to medical school here in the States. Ding, 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 bingo, there it is. That's the reason she's here and the reason that her family and herself is willing to put up with this weirdo. She needs a green card so she can go to school here, so she can live here and be a doctor. Now, besides the fact that Lita is, you know, a manipulative liar and a huge entitled bitch who doesn't give a shit about Eric or his daughters or really her own kid for that matter, I'm going to ask you to set a simmer on this one. Can you even imagine her as a general practitioner? Her bedside manner would be that of, I've thought about this one for a little bit, Brandy Glanville responding to Joanna Krupa. Your BMI too high and you look old. You probably gonna die. Where are your daughters? Yeah, did you catch that weird accent? I mean, I get why she has it, but just because it's Lita, it's annoying. So we have Raina, who's also there. She's moving things along, asking when Lita's going to, you know, get to see the town dump. I mean, where they live. And oh, look at the time. Perfect timing. Let's go and look. Your chariot awaits, m'lady. Okay, well, here we go. They pull up to Eric's apartment, and they really don't even have to go inside because we already know what it's going to look like. Even if we had not seen the inside of his apartment on previous episodes, you know from the outside exactly what it looks like, which is how I know, and hopefully you caught this too, that there's no way in hell that I believe this was the first time Lita was seeing that apartment. No chance. If it were, her reaction would have been off the charts. She's seen it before because her reaction was not at all that of a spoiled rich girl. From the 70s colored flagstone facade to the flickering fluorescent light in the hallway, it was giving me a freaking damn migraine headache myself. This place just reeked, literally and figuratively, of every college apartment that those slumlords in Central Illinois got away with renting out to Illinois State University students, I being one of them. And yes, the time has come. I am using this podcast to call you out, young America, you slumlords of Normal, Illinois. That felt really good. It's about 16 years too late, but it felt really fantastic. Now back to Lita and Eric. They walk in the door, which happens to be right at the top of the stairs. So you know Eric's apartment gets really noisy. It gets really cold and smelly. The place is trashed, right? There's dishes everywhere, clothes lying around. And then Eric's bedroom, probably the worst of all those rooms for me. Those black sheets have got to be, what, 15 years old or maybe even thrifted? Ew. And then the full-size bed, which is, I think it's mathematically impossible for two full-grown humans to fit in a full bed. And Eric is just at 100% David on the David Tobo scale, whatever the hell his name is. He tells Lita she's making a mountain out of a molehill. That is straight out of David's diary. No, Eric. She's not making a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe a mold hill, because that is the substance that was covering your entire disgusting apartment. But how dare you look at her? Make it like it's her deal. Like there's nothing wrong with it. And that's what I don't get about these guys like Eric and David. They think they can just lie and always get a free pass because if they apologize and say, oh, I feel bad, it erases all the wrongdoing and all the lies. Absolutely not. You're both pathological, lying sociopaths. Okay, now maybe a future sociopath, jury's still out, could be Steven. He was definitely towing the line this episode. So let's get into Steven and Olga. It's 1 a.m. and Olga starts having contractions, and for some reason she's wearing a bra. I'm not going to diss her because, damn it, the girl looked good. Incredible. There was not even a stretch mark in sight. God bless the girl. Now, I'm wondering, though, why Olga and Steven took a cab as opposed to probably the minivan that's with production. Maybe production didn't offer because they didn't want her water to break in there. I didn't understand that at all. It just felt like it was kind of shitty on production's part to be like, oh yeah, we'll wait for you to hail a cab. We'll wait in our warm car over here while you guys flag down Vladimir over there. Now then they get to this hospital and I know automatically you're probably going to cringe because I am going to sound very judgy. I'm going to sound like a spoiled American because that hospital grossed me the hell out. Besides the fact that it looked dirty, it was just depressing from the lighting and the paint colors. I mean, we are so spoiled here in the States, and clearly I enjoyed my hospital birthing rooms and mother-baby unit rooms that I had two more babies for other couples because it was just that lovely. It was like a little vacation, right? I felt badly having had such good experiences and really feeling pampered, if you will, because Olga is laying here having to be all by herself. And when she was checking in, did you see she was sitting on like one of those stacking chairs while she was having contractions? And not only that, she's speaking with a nurse who looked like she was just going to tell Olga to cough and she was just going to rip the baby out with her bare hands. I mean, I think even Steven knew that because he was talking a big game about raising hell in the hospital if he couldn't be with Olga, but when that head nurse Petrovic came out and scurried him along, he shut his mouth pretty damn quickly and got the hell out of there. He was afraid of her. He totally was afraid of her. It was endearing, though, that Stephen wanted to be there for the birth, and he wanted to be there for Olga. I mean, it looks like she's been through hell and back. She's been all alone in that place, which, I mean, it kind of reminded me of Eric's apartment, to be honest, maybe even a little bit more cheerful. And it turns out the next morning, Stephen's allowed to be in the room with Olga. But guess what? Olga's got to get a C-section. And we know this because someone dressed like a doctor just comes in and says, "You're going to have a C-section." I was really concerned. I mean, this looked like it was a setup for The Amazing Race or something, because it was just so matter of fact, like, well, the baby has a head, so we are going to cut it out. Be there in 5 minutes. Like, okay, Jesus, if you say so. So a little while later, they make their way down, Olga walking into the operating room with a sign on the door that I'm pretty sure said onomatopoeia on it. I mean, how appropriate. Way to be punny and on the ball, Russia. Very cute. Well, don't go anywhere. Stay with me. Right after a quick break, we're going to find out what went down on 90 Day Live. I have to tell you guys about Poshmark.com. You know me, I love a bargain, but I'm picky about quality and not wasting my time. I needed some new workout tops, so I went to Poshmark, searched the brands that I use and love, like Nike, Adidas, Lululemon, and Zella, put in my size, and instantly, I found the perfect Nike Racerback tank, a really cute Adidas sweatshirt dress, very Erica Jane, and even some Nike Juvenate shoes in my favorite olive green color. What I love about Poshmark is by using the free app, I can shop from millions of closets across America, even items new with tags. Women's, men's, children's items, even maternity, all my favorite brands are there. From Anthropologie, Old Navy, cut from the cloth jeans, which I love, Brooks running shoes and sports bras, even my favorite makeup like Tarte and Anastasia Beverly Hills. No excuse for a rocky eyebrow journey, ladies. Anastasia Brow Definer and Brow Wiz for only $18. That is more than half off what I used to pay. And it's not just for buying, you can sell your items too. Easy shipping both ways. Go to Poshmark.com and listeners of Reality TV get $5 off your first purchase. Go to Poshmark.com, enter referral code Reality TV. Again, that's referral code Reality TV. Check it out and let me know what you think. All right, let's get into 90 Day Live. It was once again hosted by Michelle Collins. I find her absolutely hilarious. You know, she really doesn't have a lot of time to show her humor on 90 Day Live because it is a live show. If you are on the fence about her, go and check out her other stuff, and I promise you, you will totally understand her personality and find her just as funny as I find her. So let's start out with, it is John's friends, Angelica and Steven. They were the Southern Charm episode, you know, where they all had dinner over there. Really nothing of value to talk about besides Angelica is a judge. She was just elected. I love her accent because it's very thick because they're from North Carolina, y'all. And I needed to know her political affiliation just because I'm curious. And turns out she's a Democrat. Was a little surprised by that, but I like it. Now, then we have Debbie, Colt's mom, come on, and we get a little warning ahead of time that because there is an ongoing legal matter, Debbie can't talk about anything that went down this last weekend with Colt and Larissa. So I was a little bummed out about that, but you know what? Debbie really did a good job. I thought it was worth the watch. First of all, she looks great. She has gotten a super cut, and I think red is her color. I was a little surprised. Red doesn't look good on everyone. She looked great. However, red is not a good color on her hair. We find out that it is that interesting shade of orange because Larissa gave it to her. They had a hair dyeing party. Yeah. To me, that was more just a sun-in accident. I've seen it happen before. My sister was a victim to sun-in, and if you have been too, you know it when you see it. Now, Debbie surprisingly likes Larissa. I know, finger on the chin, what the hell? She actually says that Larissa can be fun. I mean, I guess if you think fun is destroying people's very spirit and checkbook, then I guess. The only bad thing that Debbie really said to diss Larissa was about Larissa's cooking, and I think it's probably just safe to avoid anything that Larissa prepares with her hands, period. Now then we get John, my boyfriend, and his wife Leah, remember the one who really wants to be one of Ann Getty's babies. And they get some softball questions, but I think it was more their lack of responses that spoke volumes. Leah was the one who spoke for the most part, but when John spoke, you know, my boyfriend, he really knocked it out of the park. Oh my God, did I just sound like Leanne Locken? Really knocked it out of the park. He thinks that Larissa's just after Colt for money. I was shocked that he just laid it out there and said it, probably because he knows he's safe, right? I mean, Larissa's behind bars. She's not going to come flying through their front door or something. He doesn't think that they are compatible. He doesn't think that they're good together. But the real story, the real hot take on this one, is that no one has met nor spoken to Larissa's family. Think about that. If your daughter moved to another country, is living with her spouse's family, wouldn't you at least FaceTime or Skype with each other, even with that person translating? That is very odd to me. I think we're going to need to come up with some kind of fantasy backstory, because this is the kind of stuff that I live for. For example, Larissa's father, I'm going to say he's the hardworking one. He's gone all day. He works kind of a night shift. He comes home. He's very exhausted. But his wife, Larissa's mom, she's the type who walks around like Larissa, right? Like she thinks she is the fanciest woman in the neighborhood, but she's walking around in some busted Payless pumps. You know, they're all scuffed up. Everyone hates her. And, you know, I do think Larissa could be a homicidal killer, allegedly. So I'm going to say in my fantasy backstory, Larissa's mom maybe even helped kill a cheerleader who was going against Larissa in middle school. They helped hide the bodies. Okay, think about it. We can fanfic this out together. Now, let's get to Eric's daughter, Tasha. Oof, this was uncomfortable. I just don't think Tasha is made for live TV, and neither am I. I mean, I ramble for hours at a time. This is what I do. But yikes, Tasha needs to learn the edit button. We'll leave it at that. All we really learned was that Tasha was at a convention for 4 days. It was not a hoarders convention. Props to Michelle Collins for throwing that one out there. It was very funny. But you know that I do want to know what kind of convention she was at for 4 days. Are we thinking like it's a bronies thing, a gaming convention, LARPing perhaps, maybe a little Renaissance fair? But long story short, Tasha thinks her dad Eric is cool because he plays Halo for hours. And she doesn't care what Lita does unless Lita is going to make Eric stop paying child support for her sister. Then she's going to get the Z-snap going. Now, finally, we get to Angela. Angela coming in looking phenomenal. She looked hot for Angela. She had on these boots. She had on a long shirt thing covering her arms. Good choice. And her hair. Ugh. That is some hard-working smoothing serum, some intensive conditioning treatments. Well done, Angela. Bravo. Now look at me with all this positivity. Now it's going to stop because Angela really does not have a lot to say. I wonder why she was there. She doesn't answer any answer straight. She says that they're together, but they're having problems. And then Michael Skypes in and he says that they're all good. But then Angela seemed very depressed and down as soon as Michael came on. So in not so many words, Angela says they're together, but they're struggling a lot. 90 Day Fiancé fame has gone to Michael's head. But you know what? They're going to have some cussing and fussing, but they love each other and they belong to each other. Oh, God. Well, let me go to commercial break and I get pissed off again because I see the Smile Direct commercial come on again, can't stand it, and the Southern New Hampshire University commercial. Every time that one comes on, I think it's John Tesh talking. You know what I'm talking about? The guy that's like, stand up if you've ever had a child, blah, blah, blah. The guy is John Tesh, or very John Tesh-ish. Listen to it. Let me know what you think. But okay, now we're back from commercial break. Angela is all, what do you mean, where do we stand? We've never been apart. I love him, but then this Instagram this and Instagram haters, and he has more followers than his haters and my trolls, and I love my fans. Okay, I'm just gonna make this rule now. Let's just throw this out there for anyone, including Angela and Michael. If you're saying that Instagram has the power in your relationship to break you up because of your individual fans and trolls, then you should not be together at all. Now, right before my DVR cut off the ending of the episode, Michelle asks Michael to describe Angela. Oh my God, I loved this. He looks down at the notes that he has obviously written on his hand. He reads it off, and then Michelle just went off script and said, hey, Michael, can you just use another adjective to describe Angela besides woman? And then he stutters, pauses, improvises after a few beats, and says, love of my life. I mean, directly out from his ass that he is betrothing to Angela to wipe in his old age. And with that, we ended another 90 Day Live. Next week's episode looks like a new one, which is good, even though it's Thanksgiving week. Thank you for keeping them going, new episodes. And before I go, I wanted to tell you once again about a really great podcast that you should be checking out called Girls Girls. I told you about it last week. Hopefully you've checked it out. It is a podcast produced by Brittany Gibbons and Meredith Solo. Highlights their adventures fumbling through adulthood. They talk about sex, pop culture, life, womanhood, just the most hilarious, honest stuff about being a woman. And you may know Brittany Gibbons. She has a blog called Brittany Herself. She's the author of Fat Girl Walking. Meredith Solo is a stand-up comedian, a blogger. She has been on 2020 and on the Katie Couric Show. They make you laugh, so settle in, grab a cup of coffee. I listen to them when I work out. Check them out on Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening right now. It is Girls Girls Podcast. Let them know that I sent you over and that I say hello. Also, thank you to all of you leaving 5-star reviews on iTunes. It's really crazy how these podcast platforms use their algorithms. It really helps out independent podcasters when you leave those 5-star reviews. So thank you. And remember to check out my other podcast, Moms on the Rocks. You know where to find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Take care of yourself, you guys. Hug the ones you love and stay salty.